prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your abundant blessings to us today. You have given us everything. We praise you for food, for clothing, for shelter. We praise you for our fellowship here, this church that you have planted. We praise you for the privilege to be a part of it and to worship you together as we join our hearts this hour. Father, we praise you for Jesus most of all and for what he did for us at Calvary. Thank you that he was willing to come to become a human being so that he could be our representative. He could be the Lamb of God, spotless, pure, sinless, and then die in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. We praise you for his substitutionary death on the cross for us so that we could go free. And we know it's not to go free to go sin. That's the antithesis of all of it. And the scripture is clear that we have been saved to be free. And when you're in sin, you're in bondage. Freedom from sin. Freedom to be able to do what is right. We have the Spirit within us as a gift from you, empowering us and helping us to follow the right way. And even when we stumble, Father, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. We praise you that we never lose our salvation, that we are eternally secure in you, in Jesus, and that we just come to you for cleansing, for fellowship, that we can be restored and walk with you. Father, you are a glorious God. You have given us so many wonderful things, and we have a glorious future ahead. We praise you, Father, for that day that it's coming, and we pray that it would come soon. May Jesus return in the clouds even today to take us home to be with you. But in the meantime, while we await his return, as we were talking about in Sunday school, it can take a while for what you're going to do, but we know it is as sure as if it has already occurred. It's going to take place. It's just a question of when. And we pray that as you give us another day, another hour, may we be faithful to worship and glorify you, to proclaim your name, and to witness to others for you, to be the ambassadors you've called us to be, to tell others about Jesus, that they too can be saved through him and be with us when he comes to take us home. Father, thank you for this hour. We pray for your blessing upon it as we continue to worship you and as we hear the message proclaimed. Fill Pastor with your Spirit. Bless him as he breaks the word to us. And may it be just a rich feeding for our souls and encourage us as we head into this new week. We give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We have a new one. Olivia Brockway, we've prayed for her in the past. That's the announcements. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 for our scripture reading today. Beginning at verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for your holy word to our hearts today. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to take our sins upon himself, to die in our place, that we might have everlasting life. Oh God, we know that in Adam all have sinned. We're all sinners, our Father. But thank you so much. Jesus Christ has set us free from sin. We're no longer under bondage because he took our sins upon himself and died in our place as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father, we pray this morning for those who in Ukraine who are suffering so terribly from this war. We pray, dear God, that you will have mercy upon this country and these people. We pray for those who are seeking to spread the gospel in the midst of all of this turmoil and strife. Father, we pray that you'll give grace and strength, and may there be those who would turn to you at this terrible time. May they put their faith and trust in you completely and be born again by the Spirit of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, it would. And we pray, O God, that your holy will be accomplished in all of this. We know your word tells us very clearly that terrible times are coming. We know that. But we're so thankful that in Christ Jesus we have eternal life. And we don't have to worry about that. So help us not to fear. Help us to do all that we can to share the good news with others that there is a way out. We don't have to continue to wallow in this mud of sin and degradation. We can get up and Jesus Christ can cleanse us and make us what we ought to be. I pray that that might be the case for so many people today. Lord, that they would turn to you. We live in desperate days. There's so much that's wrong. And yet, we know that everything will work out in the end. We do pray, our Father, this morning for those who are ill. We ask you to touch and strengthen them. You know their needs. And we just commit them into your hands and pray that you'll work in their hearts and lives and bless them. We thank you for the church here and for the people that are here this morning. We pray for those listening to our voice on the internet. We pray that that might be a blessing to them as well. And may your holy will be accomplished through it all. Lord, we just ask you to continue to guide and help us in all that we do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn back again to Romans chapter 5. We've been looking at the doctrine of justification by faith throughout these chapters up until chapter 4, spoke all about that. And then in chapter 5, as we saw last week, the results or the blessings of justification, what does it give us? Just to review a little bit, it says that we get peace with God through our justification. We have peace with Him. We have access by faith to the Lord and into His grace wherein we stand. Stand firm and strong in the grace of God and have access to the Father. We rejoice in hope, looking forward to whatever God has for us. Glorying in the testings and trials. Now there's the one that we might have a little trouble with, right? We glory in tribulations also, right? We do, don't we? Okay. Yes, we try to. And the Lord gives us the grace to keep going. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God, having God's love shed abroad in our hearts. You know, that's the reason we love each other. That's the reason we love the Lord. God has put His love into our hearts. And we are so glad. And then it says that we are reconciled to Him. In verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. We are reconciled to God. And we're not at war anymore. We are with the Lord. We are on His side. And we are working together. So in the second half that we're looking at today has the contrast between two men. There, first of all, is Adam, and then there is Christ, right? Who is called, what? The second Adam. Here we have this passage describes the contrast between these two men and what happens regarding them. The results of their actions affect every human being, both Adam and Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So here we have the difference between these two people. The first man, created by God in His image, Genesis chapter 2. Let's take a look at that for a moment. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So here, God gave instructions to Adam and told him what would happen in the event that he disobeyed Him. You remember how it was? God says, "You can eat of all the trees of the garden. No problem. There's only one. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of it. In the day you eat thereof, you will surely die." That's the only commandment. Later on, you remember Moses got 10. Here God only gave Adam one. And they didn't even keep that one. So anyway, we're looking here at how sin began, the origin of sin and death, the disobedience that came about from that. But notice here, in referring to Adam, the Apostle Paul didn't seem to have any trouble accepting the Genesis account of creation and treated it as being true and factual, right? He didn't say it was a myth. He didn't say that it was just a story made up to teach us a lesson. No. He accepted it as the truth. Just like Jesus did. Jesus spoke of Adam and Eve as people, you know. He didn't explain to the people, "Oh, well, now this is just for your edification. This is just to teach you something." No, no. The Bible is one continuous story. Genesis is just as inspired as Romans. And to discount one part is to deny all of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the Word of God is what we need in order to be able to live our lives pleasing to God. We come to know Him through trusting in Jesus as our Savior according to the Scriptures. He died for us. He arose again. And the Scriptures teach us all that. And also the history, going all the way back to the beginning, we see where all this came from. You know, a lot of people seem to have trouble figuring out how this world came into being. And God tells us right away how it happened. He just spoke the word and there it was. Right? That's very simple to think about if we're willing to accept His word. Dr. Schofield comments on this. He says, the first sin brought the moral ruin of the race. The demonstration is simple. Death is universal. All die. Sinless infants, moral people, religious people, equally with the depraved. We've seen that already in Romans. Not only those who are openly sinful, but also those who seek to do God's will, they still die. We all die. And for a universal effect it is, there must be a universal cause. Okay? That cause is a state of universal sin, as we see here. Now, Adam sinned, and the whole human race fell into sin, right? Adam is considered, as some of these theologians say, the federal head of the race, and what he did affected everyone else. So this universal state must have had a cause. It did. The consequence of Adam's sin was that the many were made sinners. In verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation. Personal sins are not meant here. It says, from Adam to Moses, death reigned. Although there being no law, personal guilt was not imputed. Now, I don't know. I hope that's not too technical. Some of this language you might not quite understand. But he's saying here, you know, there was no law given. I mean, there was no, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know. That had not been given. So people still died. Why did they die? Because Adam sinned, you see. And that's all we need to know, I think, that this man was judged, and from then on, death reigned. It is the king, death. And death is the last enemy that we have, isn't it? This is something that God has decreed. And since physical death came from Adam to Moses, was not due to sinful acts of those who die, it follows that it was due to a universal sinful state or nature, and that state is declared to be our inheritance from Adam. We all inherit a sinful nature from Adam. That's the reason people do the evil things they do. They have a sinful nature. whenever we disobey God, when we turn away from Him, when we want to do our own thing. It's because of that sinful nature that we have from Adam. And here it speaks about the power of death. Verse 13 says, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Okay. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So Adam, in a certain sense, was a figure of Christ who was coming. Adam was the first man. Jesus is the second man, the one who came to save us from our sins. So we see here the sin brings on death. And that's taught throughout the scriptures, isn't it? Sin leads to death. And we need salvation from our sins in order to have life. The eternal life that Jesus Christ offers to us. So we find here then that the law did not cause man to sin, but it demonstrated clearly what sin is, making man more responsible. So eventually the law did come along. It amplifies the fact. It shows us that we are sinners and that we need to have the salvation that God offers us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we find then, Christ is the second man. He is the one who has come to redeem us from our sins. He brings freedom from death. Look with me, if you would, back in 1 Corinthians 15 again, and down to verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. He's earthbound. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So here we have the two different types of people. Those who are in Adam and those that are in Christ. Christ is the second, the last Adam. And he is the one who provides for us salvation and life. In verse 15 of our text, here we find the Lord Jesus is the head of the new race. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. It's a free gift. Doesn't cost us anything. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. So where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, right? Christ came to save us from our sins. He's the head of the new race of redeemed people. And we can look to Him for our salvation. Just as sin and death came through Adam, so salvation and life come to men through Jesus Christ. Let's look here in verse 18, I believe it is. Yeah, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So we're condemned through that. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, does that mean in Adam all sinned and they're all condemned? Does that mean that in Christ everyone is forgiven and cleansed? Is there anything we have to do or has to be done to change that? Does it mean that everyone is saved? No, it doesn't. Because it says in Christ. That's the whole important thing to remember. It's in Christ. You see, we are in Adam. We are the sons of Adam. And we need to become the children of God through Christ Jesus. For it takes our faith to believe that, to receive that, in order to have eternal life. So that's a little different when you see those two words there, all. I mean, some people would think, oh good, I'm in Adam, all sin, in Christ, all our lives, so we don't have to be saved. Here we are. No. That's the wonderful thing about studying the scriptures, because it tells us it's by grace through faith that we're saved. Right? You don't just automatically become saved because Jesus died. He did die. But he died for you. And you have to accept that. You have to believe that. You have to put your faith and confidence in him. Not in yourself. Not in anything else. In Christ. In Christ alone, right? And we have that wonderful salvation through him. He came to redeem us and to make us reconciled to God. So here we have salvation through Christ and the reign of grace. Grace abounded much more than sin. Grace teaches us righteousness. Let's look over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2:11. Here it is. 2:11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Everyone has the opportunity, right? We all have that. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here we have the grace of God. That's what brings salvation, and that's what teaches us how we are to live. The grace of God. And it's all coming from him, and we are now looking for that blessed hope when Jesus will come again. The trumpet will blow and we'll go to be with him forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from our iniquity and purify us, our people of his own possession. We belong to him. He is our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Father, and all that we need we find in him. Amen. I have a quotation here from a man, Thomas Benton Brooks. He says, grace is no friend to sin. It is its sworn enemy. As heat is opposed to cold, and light to darkness, So grace is opposed to sin. Fire and water may as well agree in the same vessel as grace and sin in the same heart. And that's kind of an old way of putting it. But anyway, the idea is that grace sets us free, right? And we are not to sin, because that is contrary to what grace would have us do. We are to be obedient. That's the way it should be in our lives, day by day. That salvation that we have in Christ leads us to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, looking to Him, looking for that day when He comes, keeping ourselves in the center of His will and doing that which is pleasing in His sight. So the main thought here we find in this passage that we read is that when God looks down at the human race, He sees two people, right? In a sense. He sees us all, I know. But anyway, there's those who are in Adam and still condemned, and there's those who are in Christ and set free. We are His people, not because of we're good people, no, but because He has redeemed us and made us His very own. And in Christ we have all of this, we have forgiveness and cleansing and all of that, and we can walk in fellowship with Him. So God looks down upon us, and the question you have today is, are you in Adam, or are you in Christ? And that's the question. We need to be in Christ. And if you're not sure, it's quite important, it's very important, it's essential that you find out, that you really know what it is. We find here again the contrast. I have this from Dr. Wiersbe. This is, I thought, was pretty good. It's a little chart he has here. Just to solidify this in our minds and hearts. It says the first Adam was made of the earth. We looked at that. He's an earthly person. The Lord, the second Adam is the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus. Adam was the king of the old creation, this world. Jesus is the Lord of the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The first Adam was tested in a perfect garden and failed. You remember? Only one commandment, but he failed. Jesus was tested in a wilderness and was successful. He overcame the devil by using the Word of God and defeated him. The first Adam brought sin, death, and condemnation. The second Adam brought righteousness, life, and justification. The first Adam brought death. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, it says. But the second Adam, believers reign. Grace reigns. He says where sin abounded, grace abounded so much more. So we can have victory in our life by obeying the Lord, walking with Him, allowing the grace of God to fill our hearts and minds and to serve Him. Many, all men, were made sinners from the first Adam. Believers are made righteous in Christ. Right? All those who are in Christ are made righteous and reconciled to God. We are in Adam through physical birth. So how are we in Christ? We are in Christ through spiritual birth, right? Jesus said you must be born again, right? And so we're born again of the Spirit, and therefore we have we have eternal life through him. So this is what he's saying here. In Adam all die, in Christ all that believe in him will be made alive forevermore. So that's the wonderful thing to think about, to encourage us and strengthen us as we go along in our day-by-day life, that we have victory in Christ Jesus. And I trust in each one of us this morning has that blessed assurance in our hearts that we are in Christ. If you're not, call upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, believing in him, shall be saved. Right? Father, we thank you so much this morning for your wonderful word, and pray that you'll help us to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to rejoice in the Lord always, and not to be down in the heart, but rather to have full assurance that we are your children. Encourage us, strengthen us, bless us, our Father. And we pray for any that are not saved, that they might realize that and come to know you in personal faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.